Our series is Thou Art God, Learning to Say Thou Art God. And my challenge to you this morning is going to be worshiping Jesus at Christmas. Now, we don't just worship Jesus at Christmas, but this is a great time to be reminded of it. So take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 2, if you would. We're going to start there, and we're going to read one verse, and we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. And we're going to look at the people in the Christmas story that worshiped Jesus. And we'll take their lives and their stories and then apply it to ourselves. And I want to challenge you this morning to be a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Not just saying that, but really worshiping Jesus Christ. I love that at Christmas time, so many songs are about our Savior. We got to go sing. I didn't sing. I sang along with them, the choir at the Old Town, but I didn't I wasn't up in the group. They did a great job, by the way. We recorded some of it. We took some pictures of it. We'll get it posted on our website, our Facebook, or something here pretty soon. But I love that as they were singing, people came around and started singing songs about our Savior, worshiping our Savior. There's so many different faces that were there. One of the ones that just stood out, there was a veteran with a big beard and a big Santa Claus style suit on. Anybody else see him? Okay, they were just loving it. He's standing there, just watching. Some of the folks were singing out, and I was thinking, what a neat thing that they could get together and they could sing songs about our Savior, worship our Savior. So many times the Christmas music is about things that just really don't matter. I mean, snow. I like snow. I like candy canes, and what else do we sing about that? I like Jingle Bells. But they don't really matter, I mean, in the long term. But songs about our Savior, wow. I like this time of year partly because of that. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, is talking about the wise men. They came to worship Jesus. We'll read a little bit more about them in a few moments. But look at this one verse. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We've all got this image in our head of what that looks like. Maybe you've seen the Christmas story on TV, or you've seen it as a Christmas program, a Christmas play. But you've got this idea probably in your mind of these wise men coming. Sometimes they're coming to the manger in the story, but we understand this was a couple years after that. Jesus would have been a little older. He wasn't a baby. The Bible calls him a young child at this point. They come to the house, and you remember the story of them going to Herod first and all of that, but they get to the house. They follow to the star to the house, and when they get there, the Bible says, they fall down and worship him. See, Jesus isn't just a marketing gimmick. It's just not something that we pull out during Christmas time to be part of this celebration that we're going to have anyway. It's all about him. And this morning, I love the theme, Thou Art God, remembering that Jesus Christ is God. And I want to challenge you as we look at worshiping Him this morning. You know, worshiping God's a good thing. I am not an advocate of the what we would call praise and worship, the contemporary type of new music that combines rock music with Christian words. But I am a big advocate of praising and worshiping God. So I want to challenge you about that this morning. Go to Luke chapter 1, if you would. We're in Matthew. Luke chapter 1 will be just a little bit down the road there from Matthew chapter 2. And the first person I want to see this morning, and I want you to see that she worshiped, and that is Mary. Mary, the mother of our Savior. We won't go into all of the details because we don't have time to give you a whole lot of backstory. I'm assuming that most of you here know a little bit about the Christmas story, and we'll fill in some of the blanks this morning. But Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 46, she prays. The angel has just come and told her that she is going to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Lord, the mother of the Christ, the mother of our Savior. And she has just got this news. She has just heard this. And look what she says. Verse number 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen, that would have been past tense of help, he hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. What a prayer. This is amazing. She's gotten the news. She's gone to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and Elizabeth meets her there, and Mary stops and prays and worships God. She spoke of what God had done for her personally. If you break down this prayer and you look through it, and she said, called him my Savior, verse 4. I'm sorry, 47. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. As Mary is worshiping God, and she's worshiping the Savior, she calls him the Savior. This is so very important for us to understand. Mary also needed a Savior, just like you and I need a Savior, because all have sinned, the Bible says, and come short of the glory of God. Mary was an amazing lady and a great lady, but when she realized she was going to be the mother of Jesus Christ, of the Messiah, she said, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Realizing that she needed a Savior, she spoke of what God had done for her personally, and he sent my Savior. Then she said that God had regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. He saw me where I was, and he's going to use me regardless of where I've come from. He hath done to me great things. He hath exalted them of low degree. She spoke of what God had done for her personally. She spoke of God's attributes in this prayer. She talked about his mercy. She said that God had showed great strength. As we are worshiping our Savior, and often during this Christmas time, we think of it more than other times, but I want to remind you to as you worship God, to worship Him and praise Him for what He's done for you personally. Praise Him for who He is, His attributes, His mercy, His strength. And then she spoke of what God had done to His enemies. She said that God had scattered the proud and God had put down the mighty, all of that in this one prayer. She spoke of what God had done for others. She said that he had filled the hungry with good things. She said that he had holpen or helped his servant Israel. So can you picture this? Mary has been given this amazing news that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. And she goes to God and she worships him by speaking of what God had done for her personally, by speaking of God's attributes, by speaking of what God had done to his enemies, the victories that he had won, and speaking of what God had done for others. You know, we ought to become more proficient at praising God. And I want to use this prayer as a challenge to all of us. How long has it been since we've taken time just to praise God for these things? You know, praising God ought to be a normal part of our lives. It ought to be something that not just on Sunday or not just at Christmas time, but on a regular basis, part of our lives ought to be praising God. Well, what do you praise Him for? Well, just like Mary, praising God for what He's done for you personally. God has done so much for you personally. If you were to stop and think about it, we sing a song, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. I mean, really, stop and start to, I just said stop and start together. Does that bother anybody right there? So stop what you're doing and start praising God for what He has done for you personally. I mean, just think about it for a moment. My salvation. He saved me. He came to this earth. He died on the cross. He paid the price for my sins. He paid the price for your sins. I can praise him for dying on the cross. I can praise him for paying for my sins. I can praise him for rising again. I can praise him for saving me. I can, it goes on and on. I can praise him for my family. I can praise him for my health. I can praise him for a job. There's so much that I can praise God for what he has done for me personally. And you're in the same situation. Now, our details are going to be different, but you have so much to praise God for. Like Mary, as she came to God and she prayed to him, she worships our Savior. She praised him for what he had done for her. And then I want to challenge you to praise God for who he is. I don't know that I can say this exactly right because it's a song that has kind of got a tongue twister kind of thing. But it goes something like this. And even if he'd never done another single miracle, he would still be God. If he never did anything for me personally, If he hadn't given me the family he gave me, if he hadn't given me health, and if he hadn't done so much for me, he'd still be God. What a thought that is. And I want to praise him for who he is. He is God. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Savior. He is Lord. He's Messiah. If you go through the Bible, so many names given to our Savior. Praise God for who he is. And praise God for the battles he has helped you win. Now, they may not be battles like King David might have fought or some other warrior might have fought, but I guarantee there's battles, and you've faced battles, and God has gotten you through those battles, or maybe you're in the middle of one right now, and he's working in your life, and praise God for the victories he has brought you through. He helped you win victory over sin. He's helped you win the battle over pride. Maybe some of us are still working on some of these. If you say, I don't have any pride, right? Then it's probably us, right? Did you catch that there? Okay, I'm just stopping to make sure that you're awake this morning. There's so many battles that we're going to face. Every one of us battles with sin. And when God gives us the victory over sin, praise him for it. Worship him for it. Something that he's done, a victory he's brought into your life. Maybe a victory over selfishness or a victory over insecurity, a victory over fear, whatever it was, the battle that you were facing, praise God for the victory in that battle. Praise him for battles he's helped you win. Praise him for the victory. Praise God for what he's done for you personally. Praise God for who he is. Praise God for the battles he's helped you in. And then praise God for what he's done for other people. Maybe something that wasn't for me. Maybe God answered your prayer request but hasn't answered my prayer request yet. And he's answered your prayer, and maybe you come and on the Wednesday night during a prayer request time, you share a praise or maybe just a text or put it on Facebook and you say, praise God, God has done this for me, and I want to praise God also for what he's done for you as well. You know, instead of becoming jealous when God blesses someone else, let's praise God when God blesses someone else. Let me give you a pastoral example of that, okay? Whenever I hear about another church and how God has done something great for them, and God has helped them, they had maybe a big day and a lot of people came to church on Sunday and a lot of people got saved and they just had a huge crowd, I want to bless God for that instead of becoming jealous about it. The tendency is, well, I wish you'd do that here. And okay, so your neighbor or somebody else in church, they come to church and they got a new car, they got a new house, they got a new phone, right? And they got the iPhone 7 Plus, which Diana gave us the price on the bus. What was it, $750, something like that for the phone? And they've got the new phone, and I want the new phone, and God's blessed them with it. You know what I can do? I can praise God, worship God. God, thank you for what you gave Diana. Was that a real one? That was just a picture of one, wasn't it? It was just a picture, right? I want to praise God for what he's done for others. When God gives somebody else in the church a victory, when God works in their life in a great way, let's worship God for it. Instead of becoming bitter or instead of becoming upset or jealous, let's thank God. God, pray. We praise you. Mary praised God for what he'd done for her personally. She spoke of God's attributes. She spoke of what God had done to his enemies and the victories he'd won. And she spoke of what God had done for others. Look at chapter 2, verse 8 of Luke now. So you've got Mary, she's worshiping. She's mom to the Savior, and she's worshiping him. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8, you've got the angels coming into the picture. Now, the angels are the created beings who are created for the purpose of giving God the glory that He deserves and for serving Him. That's their purpose. The angels are messengers. Angels are there around the throne 24/7. I don't know that there are 24/7 around the throne of God. God's outside of time, right? But all the time, if you understand what I'm saying. So all the time, the angels of God around the throne praising God. The Bible says in Revelation, thousands upon and thousands and ten thousands of thousands. Just so many angels around the throne of God. They're praising God. That's what they were made for. In Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Picture these shepherds out there, it's dark and quiet. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. These shepherds are afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, I love to picture this in my mind. I know I don't get it right, but I love to picture this. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Whoa. You've got the angels. And here they come down to earth, and they are worshiping our Savior. They're used to worshiping Jesus around the throne all the time, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, and everything else that they say is they worship Him. And here's how they did it. Mary worshiped by praising God. We read that in her prayer. The angels worshiped by publicly giving God glory for what He had done. I love picturing this in my mind. One angel shows up. One angel showing up would be enough to totally scare all of us. It's a dark hillside outside of town, and this angel lights up the sky and says what he says. And then the Bible says there's a multitude of the heavenly hosts. I love this. They weren't embarrassed to worship God publicly. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, why would an angel be embarrassed anyway? But they weren't. Sometimes I've got to confess I am. And I want to challenge you. I want to challenge myself. I want to worship God by not being embarrassed to worship Him publicly. They weren't afraid of what anyone would think. They weren't even afraid of what the fallen angels would think. I guess I'd be the closest thing to their peers, right? Can you imagine the sound of a multitude of angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Here's the challenge. You and I can worship publicly. So Mary was just there, her and Elizabeth, and she prayed this amazing prayer to God, and she praised God for these things we mentioned. But now here's the angels. Not caring who's out there, some shepherds happened to see, but it didn't really matter who was there. They were just going to worship and praise God publicly. How can you do that? How can you and I worship God publicly? Let me give you some practical ways to do it, some ideas. Here's one. Sing out at church. Sing out at church. It doesn't matter if you're on key or who's sitting next to you. Let's sing it out. You'll get better as you go. Most of us, right? I was sitting up here, and right there at the end of the last song, I squeaked really good. I don't know if anybody heard that one, but it was a good one. And it was one of those ones where you're trying to hit the notes, and it was just all over the place, but I was singing with all my heart. I love Sundays. I love Sunday nights, coming back to church. Something about Sunday nights and just being able to sing the church together and singing out to the Lord. I love to sing, and I'm not really good at being the singer. I would go back, and I would listen whenever I was the song leader, and I was leading the music, and I had to edit the CDs as well, and I'd cut out the singing parts out of the recording because I just really didn't like to hear them. And it was bad, but I still like to sing. Let me challenge you to sing out at church. When you're here and we put the words, whether it's up on the screen or you're looking at them in your songbook, let's sing it out. I love singing songs like, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. Let's sing it out. When we're singing at church, we're not just singing to fill up a few minutes of time. We're singing to our Savior. We're singing to worship God just like the angels did. Okay, picture yourself next time we're singing, thinking, what would the angels do, right? They'd sing out. They'd sing out loud, and they wouldn't care who was next to them. Maybe you're one of the teenagers, and one of your friends is sitting next to you or standing next to you, and you're thinking, man, if I sing, they're going to think I'm, you know, just trying to, you know, be like a teacher's pet, kind of preacher's. Do they have preacher's pets? I'm not sure if they do. But you're just trying to impress everybody around you. No, I'm not. I'm singing from my heart to the Lord. Sing out. A great way to worship God. Here's a couple things you can do. Say praise the Lord. Every once in a while, praise the Lord. I prefer saying praise the Lord than spelling PTL. You do whatever you want to do, but I want people to know praise the Lord, all right? I know we're living in a text generation where we abbreviate everything. I don't even understand half the text because they're all abbreviated. But say it. Praise the Lord for what He has done. I like saying if the Lord's willing. I'm not real good at it, but I'm trying to learn. If the Lord's willing. See you tomorrow. If the Lord's willing, we'll see you tomorrow. What am I doing? I'm giving preference to Him. I'm saying if it's God's will. If it's God's will, then we'll do this. And I'm not the best at that. What am I doing? It's just challenging you to publicly worship God. Say, God is so good. Learn to say, God did it. Whenever somebody compliments you for something, well, praise the Lord. You know, you don't have to try to sound super spiritual. It's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to create an image so everybody looks at us and say, wow, they're super spiritual. What are we trying to do? I'm trying to publicly let everybody else know I'm worshiping God. God did it. We talk about it so many times. God has done so many amazing works in this church. And it's so good to just be able to say, God did it. We talk about this property that God gave us. God did it. Whenever somebody gets saved, God did it. Just an opportunity for us to worship Him publicly and not be embarrassed. Let me challenge you to carry your Bible where it can be seen. Now, you don't have to look like you can help me with the word here. You know, this type of thing. And you know, pious. Like I'm better than everybody else. There's nothing wrong with having your Bible. Whenever I sit down or somebody sits down and open up my Bible at the doctor's office or in public somewhere, people shouldn't come up and say, are you a preacher? Every Christian should have a Bible, and every Christian should read their Bible. It's an opportunity for us to worship God publicly. How about giving somebody a gospel tract? You know, that's worshiping God. If I was to take a gospel tract and say, hey, you can say however you want it to say, want to say it, but let me invite you to be a guest at our church. Let me give you this Bible study, show you how to be saved. Okay, so that's soul winning, that's outreach, that's witnessing, I understand it. But that's also you publicly saying, there is a God and I believe in Him and let me tell you about Him. You can say those words if you want to, but even if you don't say those words, that action is worshiping God publicly. Mary worshiped, the angels worshiped. Look at verse number 15, Luke chapter 2, look at verse number 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, stop here for just a moment. What would you say if you were one of those shepherds? I don't know what I would have said. I'd have been speechless. I'd have been scared. I don't know what I'd have said, but here's what the shepherds said. They just heard the angels. Verse 15, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The angels just said, go into Bethlehem, and He gave them this message, what they were supposed to do. The shepherds look at each other and said, let's do what they told us to do. It's pretty simple. How did the shepherds worship? There's a little bit more I want to read here. Let's see. Look at verse number 16. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We see them worshiping publicly as well, kind of like the angels did. But here you've got some strangers in the vicinity of the manger. They don't know Mary and Joseph and Jesus. They'd happen to be there, these shepherds that were outside of Bethlehem. And here's how they worshiped, by simply doing what God wanted them to do. The angels said, in Bethlehem, in this manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, that's where you will find the Savior. Go there and find Him. They did that. They obeyed. They went and found Him. They, first of all, believed the message of the angels. The Bible says they came with haste. They went right away. And then they spread the good tidings. They're worshiping. These shepherds, they get the message from the angels. They believe it. They do it, and then they share the story. You know, you and I can worship by doing what God wants us to do. God wants us to believe the message of the gospel. God wants us to come to Him with haste or come right now. God wants us to spread the good news. You can worship like the shepherds worshiped. After they had gone to the manger, they left telling people. It is there in verse number 20, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I love seeing how these people, that the very first Christmas time, how they worshiped our Savior. There's another two people that I want you to see, and then actually there's five more people, but I'm going to give them to you in two parts, right? Can you handle two more parts? There's a man named Simeon. Brother Santiago remembers him pretty well. Not like you remember him like you were there, Brother Santiago. Oh, man, I just got myself in trouble. But he acted him out during the play a couple of years ago, or last year. So you've got Simeon, and you've got Anna, however you want to say her name. It's in Luke chapter 2. Look at verse number 25. First Simeon. Jesus has been brought up to the temple. He's going to be dedicated there. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. God led him there into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. Here it comes. Here's the worship. And said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. So here's two elderly people at the temple. We'll talk about Aunt Anna in just a moment. These two elderly people. We've seen different types of worship. We've seen Mary as she praises God for who He is and what He's done and things like that. You see the angels, how they just worship God publicly and they're not embarrassed. And you see the shepherds, they worship by obeying God and doing what God told them to do. Now you've got these two elderly people at the temple. And their method, I love this, their method was adoration. Adoration. Here's the Savior. And Simeon comes and the Bible says he takes him in his arms and he holds the child. What do you do when you see a cute little baby besides making faces at it, right? trying to get the baby to smile or, am I the only one that does that? Okay, so I must be the only one. Little Chloe, Miss Cheryl's baby, was just a little baby and I went like this. I was holding her, I went, rawr, like that. And she started crying. She started screaming at me. And I thought I'd damaged her. And the next week, she came back. Michelle brought her. And I was looking at Chloe, and I was looking at her. And she growled at me. So she learned it. You get the baby, and you hold it. And you look at it, and you say, wow. See, God's handiwork in the child. And you, parents, you can understand this. You bring your baby home from the hospital, and you got the little room all set up for it, and put the baby in the new little baby bed or wherever the baby's going to be sleeping. I'm not sure if everybody does this. I remember just standing there and just looking. Wow. God, look at this, what you've done for us. Look at this child. And here you've got Simeon. And there's a lot of words that he says about prophecies and things like that, but he's just holding this baby. We get this idea he's holding him up like this, right? Maybe. Yeah, that's possible. I'm picturing this. And he's looking into the eyes of our Savior. With adoration. Just like, wow. Babies can be so cute. Some of them, right? I know. No, they're all cute. They're all cute. And you look at them, you just... When we bring a baby to church, we would get home and it's just covered with lipstick. Ladies can't keep their lips off of the cute little baby. And it's like, wash that lipstick off that little guy. They're just so cute. You just want to squeeze them and hold them and call them George. You know, stuff like that. You didn't get that. All right, so... And just this adoration. All right, just look at Anna. Look at her. She's in verse number 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. I believe the way this works out, she had been married for 7 years. and then her husband had passed away. She's been a widow now for 84 years beyond that. The Bible says she was a great age. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. It's adoration. You know, you and I can worship by simply adoring the Lord Jesus. Not just as the baby. If we can get past the way our culture looks at this, okay? Jesus Christ. So many hymns have been written about loving our Savior, hearing His sweet voice. And I know our culture twists that all up with the homosexual agenda and stuff like that, but to look at the Savior that died for you. He went to the cross for you. When you get to heaven, you're going to see the face of your Savior. Let me challenge you to adore Him now. You don't have to see an image of Him or a picture of Him or a stain under a bridge or a tortilla cooked in the shape of His face, right? It's not about seeing an image. It's about who He is. And it's adoring the Savior. Adoring our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus would love it if you would just stop sometimes and adore Him. Stop and tell Him you love Him. It's hard to stop sometimes. Our lives are busy sometimes, but just stop. Stop and tell Him why you love Him. Tell Him how thankful you are for all that He's done. Just adore Him. Just spend that time with Him. I've seen couples that just start dating. I remember back at Bible college and sitting back there, early 20s, you know, 19, 20 years old, and just sitting at the little cafe at college, just kind of like this, staring into each other's eyes, you know, just adoring each other. It's hard to turn the corner and just realize how can we adore our Savior like that. But that time, that undisturbed, that focused attention, just, God, I love You. Lord, I love You. I'm so thankful for You. Think about, okay, so as you look at a baby, maybe just laying there in bed and a couple days old, you're looking at that baby, and you're thinking about all the plans and dreams that you have for this baby. What about spending time with our Savior and thinking about His plans, His dreams? God, what is it that You would like me to do? Think about His kingdom where He's preparing a place for you. What a Savior we have. If we can get past just seeing the baby in the manger, I think some of the songs in our Christmas program are going to be about this. Not just the baby in the manger now, but this Savior that loves you so much. He died on the cross, paid the price for your sin, offers a free gift of eternal life, wants to be with you through everything in this life, and wants to be your friend, and wants to be a Savior for you, and just to be able to adore Him. Lastly, the wise men came and they worshiped. This is Matthew chapter 2. Verse number 1, you see that they're... Let me get there. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. But now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now they go through and they talk to King Herod, and they had the whole thing where Herod tried to trick them and everything. But verse 11, you get to the verse we started with this morning. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. I think we're so proud that most of us, that if we came into the presence of this young child, would we fall down and worship? Would we be willing to fall on our knees and worship our Savior? These wise men, we call them the three kings, right? These wise men, they came from, they've been traveling for months or longer maybe, and they come into the house, they fall down and worship Him. And then they give Him gifts. The Bible says, when they had opened up their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men came and worshiped. They're strangers who'd been searching for months. They left their homes with the hope that they'd find the king. They expected a king in the palace, but when they found Him in the house, they came and worshiped Him. And they worshiped by falling down on their knees, humbling themselves, and giving of their treasures. They invested much time in travel. They gave of their time. They used their God-given talents and wisdom to understand the prophecies and chart an unknown star and travel to an unknown destination. They gave of their time. They gave of their talents. They gave Jesus some of their treasures. Their wealth was used to provide income for Jesus' family. That night, Jesus' stepdad, Joseph, was told to leave and run into Egypt and save the child's life. And these treasures, no doubt, were used as part of being able to support the family during that time. God blessed the wise men so that they could bless God. Think about that for just a minute. God blessed the wise men. They had these treasures. And they, in turn, took those treasures and blessed God and gave them to the Savior. You and I can worship by giving of our treasures. You've only got a few years. You'd be wise to invest your time into God's work. It's really all we've got. There's a date that we were born, there's a date that we're going to die, and there's a little dash in the middle. And what we do with that dash, that's our time. I don't want to challenge you to worship God, worship our Savior by investing your time in His work. You got talents. Use your talents for God instead of for yourself. You know, talents can be used to make money. Talents can be used for entertainment. Talents can be used to gain popularity. If you can do some stupid human tricks, you're going to get some friends just because they like to watch you do dumb stuff, right? We used to have a stupid human trick contest with our teens every once in a while. Just come up with whatever you can come up with, stupid human tricks. And you can use talents for whatever you want to use them for. But let me challenge you to use your talents for the Savior. So often our talents are a sort of source of pride for us. We play ball well, or we play an instrument well, or we fix things well, or we do good in school. But let's learn to use our talents to worship God instead of elevating ourselves. Using our talents for God is a way to worship Him. Giving our time to God is a way to worship Him. Giving our talents to God, giving our treasure to God. God didn't bless you for you to spoil yourself. Those kings, those wise men, they had that treasure and they gave it back to the Savior. The offering time is just as much a part of worship as the singing, the preaching, or the invitation time. I've given you a lot of ways to worship this morning. We can learn to worship by watching how these people worshiped Him. We worship God when we speak of what God's done for us personally. We worship God when we speak of God's attributes. We worship God when we speak of the victories God has won. We worship God when we speak of what God has done for others. We worship God when we publicly give God the glory for what He's done. Publicly, that's so important. And privately also, but also publicly. We worship God when we do what God wants us to do. We worship God simply by adoring the Lord Jesus. We worship God when we give God some of our time and some of our treasure. And we worship God when we use our talents for Him. Are you worshiping God today? Are you worshiping Him with your lives? Father, thank You for letting us spend some time in Your Word this morning. And I pray that You would challenge us and You would convict us to be people who worship the Savior. There's so many ways to do it. Lord, I pray that we would be people who worship You, people who publicly worship You, people who aren't embarrassed or ashamed to worship You. Lord, if there's anyone this morning who's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior and they've never accepted God's gift of eternal life, Lord, I pray that this morning they would do that.